Hi, this is Beck of Trek with Beck, and I am on the Dope Science Show. And if you're not checking it out, you have to ask yourself why. This is a dope show.
Hello, welcome to the Dope Science Show with Stephanie Lowe, a.k.a. Science Steph with Steph. Thank you for your ears and minds. I hope that the show sparks new ideas, new opportunities, and conversations. I want us to learn and grow. We are all curious, innovative, and experimental in our daily lives. We are all dope scientists. Hello, you guys. Thank you for listening to the show. Wanted to take the time to thank you for all the retweets, the messages, the shares, and just everything that you guys do to encourage me to keep going. I didn't realize it meant so much to me, but it really does. The creative life can be lonely, so thank you so much. This episode features another creative. His name is Saint Brie. He is a rapper, a writer, an actor, a philosopher, and a dope scientist from Atlanta, Georgia. We talk about his new album, Ronin, and what inspires him to create. We talk about science, a lot of science in this episode. It was great. Vibrations and just a lot of meandering among different articles that I found. Kamikazes, ninjas, a lot of good things. And I really hope you guys enjoy the show and you feel inspired and you learn something new. All right, you guys, let's start the show. Warning, explicit adult content.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining the show, everyone. This is a really cool guy, artist, creative, producer that I stalk online. His name is Saint Brie. I always stalk anyone who's awesome, so, you know, that's just how it is.
It's nice to be stalked. It's okay.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's like normal.
Yeah, it's a compliment. Yeah, it's 2017. It's a compliment.
Well, I was really, what caught my attention with your page is I was really interested with just the way you express yourself. I like, I was like, Ronin. Oh, that's interesting. The name of the album. But let me let you introduce yourself and then we can give some context. Tell the audience who you are.
I'm horrible at this part. Like, I can write music, but I can't like introduce myself. My name is Saint Brie. I am Saint Brie. I'm a rapper, rap artist, producer, everything. I'm a creative from Atlanta, and I just released a new album called Ronin, which if you don't know what that means, it's a wandering samurai. Back in the old days of old Tokyo, I don't want to say like Shogun era, Edo, I'm going to be wrong, but it was the era of samurais where they had no lord, no master. You know, if their teacher, if their teacher was assassinated or if they died or something, they had no one to lead the school. A lot of them would disband and some would become bandits, some would become, you know, leaders, you know, some would become warriors, you know, guns for hire, whatever. It's kind of my metaphor for hip hop, you know, the state of music in general is entertainment. It feels like it's just the Wild West and everybody's out here, you know, so that was where that whole thing came from.
That's really cool. Yeah, I saw the name, and I was like, hey, I know that. I had images of him, like, samurai. I was like, there's a movie Ronin. And then I went on Wikipedia to, like, figure out what the name was. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Really interesting.
You're
it's
like
cool
that.
That you relate that to, like, hip-hop.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I need to write children's books, man. I just kind of put stuff together like, this looks like this. It just kind of worked, but... Yeah, no,
so
no. Thank you for even like checking it out. Like I was really humbled by it. Like when you reached out, I was like, wow, like, people like it, and like cool, smart people
yeah.
like science, like the album. This is awesome. Reaching everybody.
Right? Isn't it cool when people? I'm always taken back when anyone likes anything I do. So now that
yeah.
I express myself creatively, I appreciate other creatives a lot more, like a lot more than I used to. Like,
yeah.
Like I took
yeah.
you guys for granted. It's hard.
This is much harder than it appears. I'm so sorry for not buying an album.
Yeah. Or all the extra support I should have been doing, because I didn't
like,
know how much it matters when someone says, oh, that was cool. You're like, oh. Yay.
You're like, yeah, you like that? All right, cool. I guess I could do another one, you know? It's cool, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I never
I
want to lose that.
You.
Yeah, likewise. I never want to lose that because you meet so many people just like that, you know, keeping that drive and that spunk alive, you know? But you have to, like, actually release something and get involved and be vulnerable, you know, for people to actually hear what you create and, you know, or see what you do, you know, or read it and give a critique on it and, you know, whatever. It takes a lot. So when you meet those people, it's like, well, this makes it worth it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm not alone, you know.
Exactly. And it's funny you say that because you have to be vulnerable in order to, like, do it. And part of being vulnerable is also being brave. Like, you can't. It's like you appreciate love, but you can't let it be your driving factor, you know, because then if someone doesn't like something and then you're going to
yeah,
censor
yeah.
or, you know, it's like you have to care, but only so much, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta do it for your own fulfillment, for your own purpose, you know, like if you're doing it for the likes, you know, it's you know, then you're doing it for the wrong reason, man. You know, you're doing it for an emoji, you know, like, come on, like, it should be more than that, you know. And, you know, I like to try to, you know, stick around for that, stick to that part, you know, and I see people do that, and I'm like, you get it, you know, like, okay, cool, like, we can talk, you know, me and you, we can actually, even if we don't even get along, I still, you know, respect different artists where I'm like, man, like, you know, like, you know, it still takes a lot of heart to, you know, just to, you know, put yourself in that position, you know what I'm saying? To even say, this is who I am, this is what I represent, you know, take it or
exactly.
leave it, you know. I don't always want to take it, but, you know, I have to respect it and say, you know, wow,
yeah.
you know, they did it.
Recognize my city. Everybody in my town. That's why we say we in the building. They probably about to tear down Hollywood, Hollywood. One day they'll make a film about it. And I don't really know how I feel about it. But somebody gotta keep it real about it. But we still about it. Don't get it twisted, nigga. There's still some places where them red dogs visit, nigga. Shout out to Shell Ross. Shout out to Jagged Edge. Shout out to Dungeon Family. Shout out to 112. That's for the club, too. So many memories. I was a little nigga. They don't remember me, but I remember them. They went to town, boy. That's why I throw the pieces up. I hold it down, boy. Roaming, roaming, where you been and where you at or where you going? Cause we been looking.
Yeah, I saw on your Instagram that you're a Bruce Lee fan, and one of the quotes you posted,
oh, yeah.
You said, or he said, and you retweeted, the inner self is the true self. In order to realize our true self, we must be willing to live without being dependent upon the opinion of others. That's like my core. That's like something that I am like constantly working on, you know?
Yeah. I love Bruce because, you know, like Bruce had a book called Bruce Lee's Striking Thoughts. It was one of his first books that he put out where it was just all philosophy. He was like, he's just as big of a philosopher as he was a martial artist and just as big of an actor as well. And I would come across those quotes, and I try to keep Bruce Lee like around like the social media. So like, I follow his daughter Shannon Lee, and she still
Me
keeps
too.
Me like alive. Yeah, Shannon's
Do you
awesome.
Listen to her podcast?
No. I'm new to the podcast world. I listen to like maybe a couple.
Yeah, it's so good. She has a podcast dedicated to the philosophies of Bruce Lee, and they release every week. It's so good.
Oh, thank you. I'm gonna look that up.
It's called the Bruce Lee Podcast. You'll find it easy.
pretty easy, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite quotes. When I saw that quote on Instagram, I was like, or Twitter, I forget where I posted it, but when I saw it, I was like, yes, it was just right on time. Like, you know, just do it, man. Just do it. You know, opinions are, you know, they can either get you too high or get you too low. You know, you just got to take them with a grain of salt. You know, it's like, oh, you know,
exactly.
Thank you, you know. You know.
Definitely.
You got to be like Marshawn Lynch. You know, you just got to be like, you know, thank you for asking, you know. I like your album. Thank you for asking, you know. Like, regardless of what the question is or what the statement is, it's got to be the same. Like, yeah. As a football
That's
reference,
awesome.
Sorry.
That's funny.
Sorry,
I'm sure
I forgot
some people get that.
Going.
It's okay. I'm sure there's plenty of people who get that kind of stuff. I'm like oblivious to a lot of like metaphors, so it's all brand new. I'm like, yay! But I like that your work. You're like a storyteller visually as well. A lot of your the music videos I've seen that you've released are very. You know, they're like short films, and I really like that. What inspires you in that regards, or are you trying to do that? Are you trying to tell, like, a visual and audio story? You like, especially
yeah,
with,
this,
like, your new album, like, I'm like, tell me what you're doing. What
well,
was the
well, I've Yeah, I guess you could say I am telling a story. I am actually, and it's one of my favorite storytellers is Hideo Kojima. He's the brain and just the heart and soul behind Metal Gear Solid. It's a popular game franchise. You know, it's military-based science and technology and stuff, and nanotechnology and just conspiracy theories all through and stuff. And he's like a really good storyteller where he inspired me, you know, to, you know, tell a story, you know, and say, hey, you know, like, and the thing that was really cool about him, is like, he told the story from like Nintendo and kept it going all the way to PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4,
oh,
you know, yeah, he kept the same story. Yeah. Yeah. And he stayed so true to it. And a lot of my inspiration for storytelling, it comes from just Eastern, you know, Japan, you know, Eastern philosophy or Eastern storytelling, like animes, mangas. Like, I'm a huge anime fan. One Piece is my stuff. I'm going to say stuff because I don't know who's listening, but it's my stuff.
You don't have to censor yourself.
Oh, okay. It's my shit. It is my shit. Yeah, I watch a lot of anime, and I love the fact that the manga artists over there, the comic artists over there, they are the sole proprietor. They are the sole writer for, or unless you have a team, of course, but most of them are like the sole writer and, you know, illustrator for the comic. And they have to produce a new episode per week, and they stay chronological with it. And One Piece, Naruto, like those guys, those are like one of the big two, Bleach, the big three, those guys have been gone for like 15 years plus. Like Bleach ended a few years ago, Naruto ended last year, One Piece is still going, And it's like they produce a new episode a week, and I love the love that the authors have for their story. So I started doing the same. Like you know, like there was a moment in hip hop where it was the Source magazine, and I was a kid, and every week, like the Source would put out a new magazine, and it was like, or not every week, every month they put out a new magazine, and it was like your favorite rapper, whoever was like the top rapper at the time, who got the front cover. They did like a superhero theme. And
they did?
It looks, yeah, it was like Joe Buttons was like Neo from The Matrix, and Eminem was like Jason from, you know, Friday the 13th. You know, like it was amazing. So I was like, oh man, like, you know, rappers almost look like superhero. They didn't look like, you know, and this is no diss to anybody that's a part of this culture, but they didn't look like the drug culture. They didn't look like, you know, a trap star where everybody wasn't trying to be a drug dealer. You know, they were all trying to be like super, you know, and I want to get back to that, you know, so, but I want to do it in a little way where, you know, we're in a visually driven society. So I'm like, hey, you know what? I can take this iPhone, or I can take this, you know, computer, I can take this YouTube clip, and I can put a couple images together side by side, and I can make you, wonder a little bit about what's happening. And, you know, if I do it correctly, if I pull it off correctly, you know, it'll kind of make you reflect a little bit and say, hey, I think he's talking to me. You know, I think it's a story. I think something's happening here. So the fact that you said that to me, it excites me, you know, because I'm like, yeah, I am telling a story. Like, I am like doing something like that. I'm glad you're paying attention, you know.
It's working. It's working.
It's working.
That's the best feeling. Especially you're like, I was trying to do that. And you see it. So can I assume that you have been influenced by Wu-Tang? Because, you know, they did that as well with their album. Or what,
man,
are you a Wu-Tang fan?
So, yo, all right. Wu-Tang was dope, but, like, I was a kid, so, like, I that was my cousin's era, like, you know, Wu-Tang, you know, Big Pop, you know, like, I was a kid still for those guys, but I still listen, you know, Bone Thugs, you know, those guys all had this level of creativity. But the funny thing about Wu-Tang, it's funny you mentioned him, my cousin was a producer, and Wu-Tang was interested in him, because he was always big on stories too, and music that sound like storytelling, and he would make music, and, you know, he was getting recognition, and RZA calls the house. He asked for my cousin. He says, you know, he's like, yo, I'm gonna speak to Shell. You know, he's like, I'm gonna speak to Shell, and I'm like, he's not in right now. You know, can I take a message? You know, I think I'm Bart Simpson, so I'm just, you know, I'm twirling the phone. I'm like, yeah, you know, he's like, right now. What do you want? He's like, yeah, tell me RZA call. So I'm like, RIZZA. Okay, cool. RZA, got you.
You didn't even know.
I didn't even know. And my cousin's like, are you stupid? Are you crazy? You know. But yeah, Wu-Tang was a influence for sure, especially once RZA got involved with Quentin Tarantino, who's also best friends with Robert Rodriguez, who's the guy who makes Desperado, and, you know, that whole story, you know, monologue, and I mean, the whole story, you know, trilogy and stuff, and it was really cool, you know, hearing, like, people that are seeing characters like Wu-Tang, like, they told stories, but more than anything, for me, they, like, embodied the character, like, they embodied it, like, you know what I'm saying, like you really felt like Method Man had, like, a, you know, he felt like he had like a power or something. You like, you know what I'm saying? Like, whoa, like ODB was just like an entity. He was a guy, you know? So they influenced me in that sense where I was like, yo, I want to be like them, bro. Like, you know, I was raised with martial arts and Bruce Lee. So when they were doing all that, I thought it was really cool, you know, like, you know.
That's dope. You know, I grew up during that time when Wu-Tang was big, because I'm old, you know, so, but I wasn't, like, a huge fan of them, because I was not huge, I just wasn't, I don't know, I was like, if everyone liked something, I was one of those people who'd be like, well, it's okay, you know, I was one of those people, but I wasn't really informed, I was just whatever, I don't know, I was in high school, so,
Right.
Well, I don't rule. You know, you think you're cool or you know something, but you really know nothing. So,
right.
That's you every day, or
that's me every day. Yeah. I'm like, I'm so cool, and they're like, no, you're not.
You're not cool. I've just
nah.
quit pretending I was cool. I've learned it's better to just be like, no, I'm a nerd. So then everyone can just like underestimate
yeah.
yourself.
Yeah.
Anything
it's,
you do
it
is
just
cool.
Works. Yeah. It just works, man. You don't have to worry about being cool when people might think you're cool. And you're like, what are
exactly.
you cool?
Exactly. It's a safe way to be cool.
Yeah.
But I became a Wu Tang fan because my boyfriend at the time was like, oh, I need you to get into Kung Fu movies, you know? And I was like, okay. Because he's like into Wu Tang, he's into Kung Fu. And he
right.
just felt like I needed to open up my mind and my world. And he was like, I think really upset that as a black person, like, I didn't know as much about hip hop as he thought I should. So I was like, okay, let's speak
right.
on this. But long story short,
right.
I went to this like art museum and they were playing the 36 Chambers of Shaolin in a
mm-hmm.
theater, and the RZA was going to be there to speak and like curate it. And I was like,
oh, wow.
That sounds amazing.
Right.
So I went and I was like blown away by the movie. It was like a life changing event. Everyone there was like a huge, you know, Wu Tang fan. It was such a big deal. There was only like 50 of us there or whatnot in the theater. And everyone was so excited for him to come out. And it was just like super fan moment. And I was like, okay, so this is cool. What is this? I remember
right.
being so blown away. Like, man, this movie is amazing. You know, for my first Kung Fu movie, it was like one
right.
of the best. So I was like, wow. And then, like, the RZA was there. And I learned, like, wow, he's a genius. Like, because he talked
right,
about
right.
film. And he talked about his wife and, like, how he, you know, came up with the characters and the storytelling. And it was so much more sophisticated and, like, brilliant than I realized, you know. And
yeah.
so that's how I became a Wu Tang fan. And so I
it,
recognize that.
It happens
that.
To everybody, man. It happens to everybody. Like, you know,
everyone has their story if they're fortunate enough.
I did the Wu Tang website with the name generator, where they
mm-hmm.
you put your name in and then they generate like your Wu Tang name, like what it would be. And
what?
I did it. Yeah, you never seen that? You never did? Oh man,
no,
I'm so cool.
I don't know anything. No.
I put my name in there and it came up like Detective Ventriloquist and I was like, oh, that's sick.
Oh, that
like
is
I'm
good.
A part of the Woo now. I'm a part
yes,
of the Woo,
you
brother.
Are. Definitely. I'm gonna have to do that now, for sure. I can
yeah,
think of
yeah,
what
yeah.
my name would be. That's really cool. I'm gonna do that.
Website's like 10 years old now, but it's probably still active, you know.
Oh, see, 10 years old. We'll see. What is it called? Wu Tang name generator. It came right up. Like, let's see.
Yeah, it was a hit. I think Childish Gambino. I think that's how he got his name. I read that one time, like a long
what?
Time ago. Yeah. If I read correctly, like years ago, I was reading an article and I thought it was cool, and I was like, I just did the same thing. Like, it was really cool.
Okay, it says, ooh, baby, do you like it raw? Oh, I said this wrong. Sorry, I can't do a Ghostface Killer, like, impersonation. I suck. But, it says, become a real woo warrior into your full name and smack the old dirty button. Okay. Oh.
This is the best experience ever for Wu-Tang right now. This is my Wu-Tang experience right now. We're having Stephanie read it like this. This is awesome.
It says, enter the Wu-Tang. Oh, that's interesting. From this day forward, I will be known as Thunderous Overlord.
Thunderous Overlord?
So I'm like
nice.
A dominatrix. Maybe that's what's
apparently
name.
So. I think you're in the wrong business, man. I think we just discovered your new career path.
I know. I'm like, how can I say that, like, sexy, thunderous, overload? I'm going to practice that.
You get, You got the perfect voice for it. It's already nice and chirpy. Just keep it like, hi, guys, I'm Thunderous Overlord.
Okay, so keep it normal. Thunderous Overlord.
Yeah, keep it normal.
I'm Thunderous Overlord.
And then you crack the whip
Thunderous
right then.
Overlord. Yeah. That's going to be fun. Okay.
Yeah, like, oh,
I'm never going to forget that name.
You won't. Shout out
and
to Wu-Tang,
right here,
man.
Right
shout
now on this podcast. Yeah, shout out to the Wu-Tang, the RZA, and everyone. but we need to bring it back to you. We need to bring the conversation back to you.
Me.
What are your favorite songs on your new album, The Ronin?
I just took a big swig of wine when you said that. I was like, oh, wait. What were my favorite songs? I would have to say Smoke and Fire, Too Bad, and of course Cranberry West. That's like that's probably like the number one guy. That's the guy that started it all. And I really like the song Vigilant, but it's not on the actual album. It's on the SoundCloud. It's a demo. But it was like my most politically charged song in a long time, and it was right during the whole election. Like I was done with the album, everything was supposed to be finalized, and I couldn't believe my eyes. And it's just like, okay, I need to like document a moment in history, you know, just a moment in time. I need to have a say so about this. I need to be, you know, a voice in the crowd at least, you know. So those are definitely my favorite ones, but. Yeah, Cranberry West would probably be like number one, though. It was very near and dear.
Cool. So would you be open to me using those songs like for the soundtrack of your podcast?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. Fuck yeah.
So I'll use your favorite song, Smoke and Fire, Cranberry West.
Cranberry West, yeah.
And Think About It, right?
Too bad.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm like looking at your SoundCloud. Cool. Very, very cool. I like the whole album, so it's going to be fun.
Thank you so much.
You were talking
you
about
so
politics. Yeah, no problem. I mean, yeah, it's great, and everyone's going to love it. So I'm glad that I could share your music. I'm going to go re-listen to Vigilante, because I listened to it, but... Alison, you have to listen to something more than once so that you can actually, you like experience it the first time, and then you go back if you actually want to know what was being said, you know?
Yeah, you go back for the science, you know, it's an experience, then it's a science, and then it's, you know, an experience again, like, okay. Yes, I totally get that, yeah. And also that song isn't even mixed, I recorded it on my phone. I was desperate to just get something out about this, and I just wanted it to be heard, and I was like, you know, so I'm currently re-recording it now. I'm actually mixing it down, and I got my band playing some stuff with it, so it's gonna be really cool, like the final product. But it goes against like the rules of like, you know, releasing music, like it needs to be perfect, it needs to be blah blah blah. And I'm like, oh yeah, shut up, like, you know, I do what I want. I'm indie, there's people that listen to me. Yeah, I'm not famous, you know, so the people who actually listen to my music and download it are like actual people, so I can say, hey, this is how I actually felt in this moment, and we can do this right now, you know. In the future, I don't know if I can do this anymore, you know. In the future, I might be obligated not to, you know, do things like that, but for now, like, I want to always, you know, just stay true to the craft, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But so
definitely,
but yeah, that's why the song might be different to understand.
Oh, I see. That's cool. It'll be cool to hear it like raw and then hear it again like when you remaster it, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely. I feel like you always have to stay in touch with like your true self and your creativity, or you feel you stifled, you know?
Right.
So it's always, you know, you'll be one of those people when you're like famous and all that good stuff, you'll just like randomly release like, you know, a demo or something like that, because you can kind of just be yourself, you know, without.
Yeah. That's important, man. That's really important. I think for how do I say this? I think for people that identify as creatives and creatives, like true creatives, the ones that, well, everyone's a creative, I guess what I'm trying to say is the people that identify as the ones who live their art, so to speak, they don't just create it, like, it's their life.
Right.
I think they know how that feels, and that's so important to people like us, you know, the ones that identify, because we're like, you know, I have to be myself, otherwise the dream isn't real. You know, if I'm someone else in the dream, it's not real. It's not, you know, it's not what I want, you know. So that's why I love artists like, you know, like Prince and Tupac, you know, Sade. You know, they have so much of themselves in their music, and there's so much more, you know, to them, and they have to, you know, you got to be true to it, you know, like,
right.
I don't know. It's one of the, it's very important to me.
I feel like it's more than just the physical reaction to, you know, sound waves. I feel like it's a spiritual thing, music.
Yeah.
What do you, I was reading this article where I put it on Instagram. It's called Machine Learning Writes Songs That Elicits Emotions from Its Listeners. And
wait, what is it called?
It's called Machine Learning Writes Songs That Elicits Emotions from Its Listeners.
Oh, yeah. I read a little bit of that. I saw your post on that.
Yeah, so they're saying music, more than any art, is a beautiful mix of science and emotion. It follows a set of patterns, almost mathematically, to extract feelings from its audience. Machines that make music focus on these patterns, but give little consideration to the emotional response to their audience. So scientists have developed a new machine learning device that detects the emotional state of its listeners to produce songs that elicit new feelings. So they basically feel like they can create artificial intelligence that will be able to create songs that we react emotionally to, just as if, you know, a human did it. But the challenge that they found is that the artificial intelligence doesn't, like, adapt to, like, the audience, you know? It's just like, okay, this is the formula. This is what makes people happy. This is what makes people sad.
Right.
And so it's creating something in that sort of, like, recipe, you know?
Right.
So they developed a new device that's supposedly able to react to the emotional state of its listeners. Like, they think that they've crossed the line where the machine can actually say, ooh, her eyes are welling up. Not only did this recipe for sadness come out musically this way, but we also, you know, it was able to observe that the human is responding, you know,
right,
they're getting feedback,
right,
they're recognizing feedback. And so that makes me think, you know, do you think will we ever be replaced by, like, machines that will be able to, you know, be an artist, be a creative, you know? Do you think you'll ever be replaced? Will we ever, you know, reach that level? And this is speculation.
Yeah. It's all theory at this point. There's a gray line that I see with it. Can the technology happen? Yes, it's already happening.
Right.
They're working tirelessly on it, you know, and they're creating it, and it's getting a buzz now. So obviously they're doing something right. So yeah, the technology can happen. Can we be replaced by, I guess, machines just as a creative, like, can creatives be replaced? You know, like, can machines duplicate music and make a better tune than, you know? That determines a few things. Like, let's say, for instance, this technology does come to pass, right? And songs can start playing, and they can identify when humans are welling up with tears, or when there's a rise in temperature, or whatever, all lights and numbers. And it can sense it. It can tell. So my question would be, okay, well, where is this technology going to take place? In the car, where people listen to music? in the shower mm-hmm. where people listen to music, you know, at a picnic, like, is it going to be multifacial recognition? Is it going to understand that, hey, this person doesn't like this song simply because it brings up a bad memory, or this person loves this song because it brings up a great memory? What to do when those two people are in the same room? You know, is it going mm-hmm. to, like, find, like, the perfect song, you know, to match both of them?
I see.
So, you know, it's yeah. they have a lot more variables to work out. You know, it can do that. But, I mean, mm-hmm. when will it do it, and how will it do it, and will it do it well? And two, the purpose of doing that, like, what's the purpose of doing such a thing, or creating such a machine or whatever? Like, is it just for, like, the movie's sake? You know, like, does that mean that, like, we're watching a movie and then the soundtracks are going to be, you know, I got, sorry, I'm on my own.
Is that going to be...
I was like, oh, sorry, I'm doing an interview, dude. It's really cool. It's my first podcast.
Oh.
It's really cool.
Hey, hi.
hey, what's up? No, real artist life. There you go. Roommates walking in, doggies walking around, huskies eating up your furniture. Yeah, it's real life over here. But when, you know, will movie soundtracks be, you know, adjusted according to the crowd? Will it, you know, whatever. So those things go into consideration, but my main thing is, even saying all of that, the technology can happen, but will the machine, will the robot, will the AI, will it ever truly understand where it came from, you know, and how to correlate, like, how does a breakup in this person, you know, like Adele, for instance, Adele, like, I've always heard the saying, God bless the man that broke her heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think we all can agree with that. I think even he agrees with that, like, boy, I'm so glad I did that, mm-hmm. but,
right,
you know,
if you got a cut,
yeah, you know, he's like, oh, this is awesome, but no, you know, like you think about Adele, like, what did it take? Like, was it just simple as, oh, her boyfriend broke up with her 2 days before her birthday and it broke her heart, and then she made this music. So this is what these people, you know, who dealt with this, like, you know, no, like, it can't be. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't feel like it's ever going to understand, like, you know, like, this is where this came from, where...
Exactly. It won't have the context. So it might know, okay, when you put A plus B plus C, that's going to give us a sad song. And when we react this way, they're going to recognize, okay, they're reacting emotionally. But they're not going to have the full context. So I think it'll still leave just that slither of authenticity or authenticity. Man, I can never say words right. It's like something so subtle, but I think we'll be able to recognize that it doesn't have the realness, you know, and so you won't be able to replace it. It'll be like techno music, you know, even if it sounds like, you know, R&B or whatnot, you'll be able to tell that it doesn't have that context. You know, you won't have that real person and the backstory. And I think you'll just be something subtle. And I think people will always, always love feeling that human connection with an artist.
Soul on the line, you know. my shit, I don't catch no sleep. I go too hard, I'll rest in these. You don't wanna be the king, cause the depth too deep. But the ground too heavy and your neck too weak. I do for the south side. Oh yeah. For my niggas on the south side. Oh yeah. I do it for the south side.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's something about it. It's something just even like watching movies, television, I'll go in this direction. There's the theory of almost like the golden number, but it's like the golden hertz, or I guess it was 432 hertz.
Mm-hmm.
From what I gather, I could be wrong. Your listeners could chew me apart, and I'll welcome them to point me in the right direction. But 432 hertz, I believe it's the sound or the speed at which, or the frequency at which the universe the reverb from the Big Bang is moving at 432 hertz.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm about to look that up. So, go ahead, play the song.
Yeah. So like if you have music playing at like 432 hertz and you put like a paper plate with like sand or paint or something or whatever, and you put it on there, when the bass and the music plays through it, it'll make like perfect ripples or like perfect, you know, designs which are all 432 hertz, which goes to the golden number, which is like pi related. It's like the Fibonacci sequence or something like that or whatever. But basically, from what I gather from that, I'm just one of those guys, I just bite the apple. I just take the apple, like, yeah, just give it here, you know. But it's one of those things where music before, like back in the day, I think up until the 1960s, it was recorded at 432 hertz. And that reason being is because that frequency, like, it resonates with you. That's what I was looking for. It resonates with you more. You know what I'm saying? It's at which we naturally are resonating. You know, like you put a rock in the pond and the ripples are moving at 432. You know, a snowflake, mm-hmm. you know, the design is at 432. So
yeah.
Music nowadays are in 440. Which basically increases like the frequencies. I think it like stretches the range or something. So therefore, it's more HD. So we can like zoom in a little more on music, and it's like crispy, and it's like, oh, this is perfect, and that's why everything is mm-hmm. pop. Auto-tune sounds good to us and other things because music is being produced at 440. But imagine auto-tune. Imagine Bob Marley singing with auto-tune on his records the way he was. It just wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would be.
Yeah. I never heard of this. I just was looking it up. That you like you're saying, that's supposed to be the frequency of the universe, and people meditate to that frequency as well.
Yeah, huh, yeah,
that's
yeah.
really interesting. That is.
Yeah,
I listen
to 432. I just,
yeah,
you know,
you're
I love
right.
It, man.
You got the number right. I was totally been like, was it 423? I'm dyslexic.
me slightly, so I was kind of wanting to tell. I was like, God, I hope I'm right, because if not,
it's very interesting. It's very interesting, and music is so interesting. And no matter what, it'll still will always want to have that musical, that human touch. I've heard they're like, why do humans like even evolve to enjoy music, you know, like what,
yeah.
But we always want to think that there was some evolutionary, like, reason for it, you know, and
right.
I was reading this article where they were saying that they think that it evolved so that parents, this is just, you know, an idea, that it evolved so that parents could signal to their kids that everything was okay while they were, like, outperforming, like, getting food and, you know, and doing other things, that they
right.
would sing songs to their children as a,
right.
you know, as a behavioral control mechanism, you know? That's
lullabies, originally, they go to sleep and stuff.
Yeah, and let them know, okay, I'm still within earshot, even if I might be foraging for food or or whatnot.
Yeah.
That was just,
yeah,
you know, something. And kids do love music. There's nothing sweeter than seeing, like, a kid, like, getting down.
Oh, yeah. Those are, like, the highest YouTube count videos, man. Like babies dancing to music or making beats and stuff. And that's always impressive, like, to see these internet babies, like, shush, these kids are the internet now. Like, I'm like, geez, like it's so interesting. They're born with the internet. And, you know, I talk to, like, my nieces and my nephews. And, you know, like, it's like, what's that TV show, Blackish, where they're, like, the dad's,
love
like,
it.
You know, he's like, Obama's, like, the first black president, And they're like, and then the wife's like, she's like, well, he's their only president. They're only, like, 5 and 6, you know, like, they've never seen any other president. So to them, it doesn't matter. I was like, wow, like, these kids, you know, and it's like, you know, so it's I don't know, I feel like it's my job to keep it, you know, authentic. Like my album has, like, plenty of mistakes in it, you know, that I left, that I was like, no, like, you know, I screwed up on that part, you know, and I gave it my best shot, and I thought that was the best take at the time. And then I heard it later, and I was like, oh, I was off key, but it was real. I think Andre 3000 said it once. He was like, tell me, how do you cry in key? And I was like, yeah, bro, like, exactly, you know, so. But back to, I want to talk about that sound thing really quick. You're saying, like, you know, how sound evolved. I remember reading, there was something where it was like, a friend was telling me once, I like to go to these parties with my friends and stuff sometime, and there's always, like, that one drunk guy that's, like, really deep, and he knows a lot of shit, and you're just like,
They become geniuses once they're under the influence.
Yeah,
all their internal thoughts have been really, like, pondering.
yeah, like, yo, Jermaine is real deep, but Rob is cold with it, or, you know, Sharon is, she's freestyling, but she's dropping knowledge about Einstein, and then, you know, it's crazy, you know. But one of my friends was telling me, he said, we were out back, and it was like, I'm from Atlanta, so we have our summer nights here, where you can just hear all the crickets and, you know, the nocturnal animals and stuff. You can hear a lot of stuff in the woods, and we got a lot of land down here still, and we're in this backyard, and I can hear, like, you know, the crickets and all these insects and everything. And he says, hey, man, did you know that insects have evolved over time, where they have found their own individual frequency to talk to their other, you know, to talk to their mate or to their family? So they can be heard in the midst of the jungle, in the midst of the woods. Like, they can hear each other. And I was like, you know, we hear it as a whole. We hear it as, like, an ambient sound, like, as one, you know, like a song. Like, oh, okay, it's, you know, that's going on, that's going on. But no, they're paying attention to each other's frequency. You know, like, they're hearing each other, and they're like, oh, that's my cricket over here. Yeah. Yeah. So they're probably tuned to, like, the frequency of danger and being like, oh, whenever I hear that. Imagine that, being a small insect in a big jungle, then hearing, like, that low ribbit and, like, oh, wait a minute, I know that frequency. Those guys like us. No, I don't want to be over here, you know. Like, it's really interesting. So I think about that with music too, being like, you know, the frequencies, you know.
It's so true. It's really true. Every organism, any social, like, organism has to have some sort of language or signaling in order to organize and communicate, like, what, you know, and what's music to us could be just, like, hey, what's up to them, or, you know, come on. It's, to me, it's just essential. I mean, everything has to communicate, like, ourselves, everything. And what we consider ears, like, for some organisms, or I'm just using that as a generic term, but, you know, they might hear with the, like, hairs on their legs or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you're interpreting the vibrations, and then we call that hearing, you know?
This
is the last article I'm going to have time to, like, share, but I found one that was talking about, they called it, it's like burst of electrical activity from cells in the ear teach your brain how to hear. So basically they're saying rhythmic. I can never speak rhythmic. I tried to avoid saying the word because I couldn't say it.
You're coming up on it. Like a speed bump. You're like judicial.
I can say this. Anyways, I'm just going to read the summary. It's easier. A precise rhythm of electrical impulses transmitted from cells in the inner ear coaches the brain how to hear. So the ear generates spontaneous electrical activity to trigger a response in the brain before hearing actually begins. So in the study, they took mice, like infant mice, that can't hear. They can't hear anything for 2 weeks. That's just they're born with no hearing. And they expose them to like electrical pulses in order to train their brain to recognize them. And they were able to see that like their connections in their brain developed over time as they were exposed to that and create auditory pathways. So they were able to see that it's not just like the radio frequencies. It's not just like these physical. It's like the exposure to the stimulation created these electrical connectivities in their brain that teach their brain to recognize it as hearing. So that's how we hear. So it's like your reaction to stimulation, and it teaches your brain to interpret that stimulation as hearing. It's not necessarily like, oh, I have so many like hairs in my ear, and because of that, and the air paths and such, that's why I hear. But it's like deeper than that.
It's the vibration. Okay. It's the back to the 432. Like they're saying that that's like the spiritual number. Like it resonates with the soul. It's a connectivity there, and that's what a lot of old songs are about. You know, more love, and you can like sing along with them because they're in that frequency, and it's not like impossible to reach, or you know what I'm saying? It's right there, and I don't know, like I think about like Beethoven, you know, like, you know, a man who was deaf who was making masterpieces, you know. It's I don't know if his case was that he remembered the keys visually and just remember how they sound, or if he was, I need to do more research on it, but I do know that vibration played a big part. And if you think about it, I mean, you know, we do the same thing. When you're underwater, you know what I mean? Like, you, like, hearing is a muscle, you know what I'm saying? But like your other senses kick in and it's like, hey, we'll hear for you, you know?
Right.
You know, you don't have to hear the explosion to see it. And if you see one, you're like, oh shit, something exploded over there. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I know that's, and the shock wave from the explosion will eventually reach it. You'll be like, whoa, like I saw it and I felt it. Like, you see the lightning first, you know? And then you know, like, you know, like, you know it's coming, you know what I'm saying? And it's like the vibration, and some people don't like thunder because they anticipate the vibration. It's a loud crash, you know, and you can't tell someone they don't hear it, you know, like, anyone without hearing, I believe, would feel that and say, you know, wow, you know, like, that's something that, something just happened, you know, and even, like, with your instinct, you know, like, with your gut being the what they call the second brain, you know, like, it didn't hear anything,
true.
You know, it didn't hear anything, it just felt it, and it said, you know.
You know what, I think we're just all, like, our whole being is a receptor. It's just we're not conscious of everything because it would be overwhelming to be fully conscious. You know, that's why I'm not going to get into it too much right now, but that's why when people will take drugs or for whatever, or depending on what type of drug you're taking, you can be overstimulated where you're like, oh my God, I feel everything. I see everything. Oh my God.
My fourth eye.
Not that I'm speaking from experience or anything, but
No,
but,
please go
on.
You're a creative.
But, you know, it's like, it's just interesting to just talk about it and think a little deeper about everyday things. And
Can't take it for
that's
granted.
That's what we do on the Dope Science Show. we think a little deeper about everything, right?
I like it.
Yes, and it's so fun, and I appreciate you. I do want to have to end the show because we can talk forever. I feel that way every time. I absolutely feel like that. I'm like, I could just talk and talk about this because, you know, when you get into it.
Oh, yeah.
But I did want to ask you, is there anything you wanted to make sure you got across, like where people could find you or anything that's just on the your to-do list that we haven't done? Yeah.
I am I'm Saint Brie everywhere, and there's a silent letter in Saint. It's S-A-I-N-T-X-B-R-E. So if you want to say Saint X Brie, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the all the big ones. Snapchat, I'm Haven or Die. The label is called Haven. So be on the lookout for more more music. Ronin 2 is already in production. If you already heard part 1, part 2 is in production. And just download the album. It's already in your phone. It's on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud. Yeah, it's everywhere, man. So you can, share with your friend, tell a friend, all of that good stuff. And that's definitely all I really got. Thank you for having me, man. This is a lot of fun.
Yay, I'm so glad that you could be on the show and we can talk about science and music and art. Those are like my favorite topics. So
I appreciate you.
And for every show, I have a guest record the intro for the next show. So what you'll do is you will say your name or however you want to be identified, and you're going to say you're on the Dope Science Show, and you can say with Science Step with Steph, if that's not too much of a tongue twister, or you can just say that, I'm Saint Brie and I'm on the Dope Science Show, and then you just ad lib.
So this is Saint Brie, I'm on the Dope Science Show. What'd you say? What was the first tongue twister?
Yeah, and you can do as many takes as you want, but it is you'll say your name and that you're on the Dope Science Show, and you can say you're with Science Stuff with Steph. You can say that if it rolls off your tongue, it is a tongue twister. Or you can just say you're on the Dope Science Show, people check it out, or whatever cool thing you want to say.
Science stuff with Steph.
That's hard.
I'm gonna try. Let me know when you're ready. I'll try it.
Oh yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead.
Oh, cool. Hey, what's going on, guys? It's Saint Brie checking in, and I'm on the Dope Science Show with Science Stuff with Steph. Tune in. We talk about some dope stuff. All right, peace.
That was perfect. See, you're good at this. Very good.
Was that good?
It was super good, yeah.
Oh, cool. Then one take, Jake, then I'll screw it up the next time.
Well, I appreciate you, and I will make sure everyone can follow you. Everything will be in the show notes, and so I guess I'll talk to you soon. And all right, peace out. I appreciate you.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye.
So, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I hope your mind was thinking of all kinds of meandering thoughts of technology, humanity, creativity. Do you think artificial intelligence will be able to replace human artists? You already see the algorithms that mimic what we do. Do you think that we'll ever be completely replaceable? Let me know in the comments, tweet at me, DM me, or whatever you guys do, and I will talk to you soon. Peace.
He was deployed to Afghanistan in a war zone. So when he's all alone, he can't think about it. Sometimes you feel like, oh Lord, big dreams, no plans, just go for it. Can't think about it. Hope floats on the sea of dreams. You'd sink without it. You'd sink without it. Yeah, I can't think about it. I otherwise.
Otherwise, I might lose my mind. Yeah, I can't think about it. Otherwise, I might lose my mind. Yeah, I can't think about it.
Life can be hard sometimes, 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 sometimes. Life can be hard sometimes, 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 sometimes. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. It goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah, I can't think about it. Can't think about it. I might lose my mind. Yeah, I can't think about it. Can't think about it. I might lose my mind, yeah, I can't think about it.